This is Zombie Strike.
Part 7, Chapter 66. Tocumen International Airport, Panama City. 3 February, 2011. 0700 hours local. Countdown. 10 months, 28 days. Former Chief Warrant Officer Eric Stahl walked down the ramp of the small cargo jet. He'd spent a few years in and out of Panama in his 20 years with the U.S. Army. He liked the country and the people, and was glad to be back. He just wished he'd come here on vacation instead of having to take out a bunch of monsters. Chief Stahl wasn't quite sure what to make of the transmission from Adams and Tredegar. The plane the Zombie Strike flew into, Panama was in, one of the smaller private hangars on the outskirts of Panama's big international airport. Waiting for them was Adams, Tredegar, and a uniformed Panamanian officer. A colonel, by the sigils on his epaulets. The three were waiting by a pair of big armored trucks in jungle camouflage that reminded Stahl of the MRAPs the Army was using. Adams rushed up to Mateo Cortez as the team departed the plane. The two were doing their little courtship ritual. Stahl didn't like the idea of the team lead and their employer's liaison doing this half-on, half-off dating dance, but he kept his tongue. The rest of the team seemed happy about the match. Stahl would wait and watch until it became a problem. Then he'd solve it. That's what he did. Chief Stahl had fallen into the role once occupied by the now deceased Colin Dubois. He was the professional mentor of the team lead. After a couple of months, Stahl decided he liked Cortez. The man knew how to handle himself and the team. And as much as Stahl hated to admit it, he'd seen a marked improvement in Cortez's abilities about the same time he and Adams had started up. Jess Montgomery waited a proper minute or two and then slammed into Adams with an enthusiastic hug. That was a relationship Stahl approved of. Montgomery was decent with that SCAR rifle, but there was more to life than just killing the bad guys. She needed a decent role model of life beyond the scope of her weapon. Adams was somewhere between a foster mother and a big sister for the girl. Stahl motioned for Tredegar and the Panamanian over as the rest of the team unloaded their gear from the plane. Tredegar looked more like a casting call for Ichabod Crane. Taller than average, gangly, and with a balding head that made his nose seem even longer. He was wearing a dark suit with a white shirt that was plastered to him. His normally pale face had the unhealthy red glow of too much tropical sun. The Panamanian officer was a contrast to Tredegar. The colonel was barely average height, but obviously enjoyed his food. A thick, bushy black mustache seemed right on his round face.
"Colonel, I'm Eric Stahl, but you can call me Chief or Chief Stahl," Stahl said, introducing himself. "If you'll tell me how you want us to load up, I can take care of it."
"Seal?" the colonel guessed in moderately accented English.
"Hardly. Former Chief Warrant Officer with the Army. Used to do some LERP work before I started killing zombies for a living," Stahl said.
"Bueno," the colonel answered, sounding relieved. "When I heard that this outfit was led by a civilian who never spent a day..." Stahl held up a hand to cut the colonel off. The officer's eyes flashed with indignation.
"Colonel, that man is one of the most experienced zombie hunters on the planet. He may not be military or even former military, but the American military listens to him on matters of dealing with the undead. You may want to remember that when you talk to him."
"Talk to who?" Cortez asked, joining the group.
The colonel shifted uncomfortably as the awkward silence fell over the small group. When no one said anything, Cortez turned to Stahl.
"Chief, we're going to have to brief on the move. Put the Brits, the Steve, Jim, and the extra gear in the first truck. Everyone else on the other."
Chief Stahl almost saluted out of habit. He turned and began issuing his own orders. In less than an hour, the two trucks were roaring down Panamanian highways toward the mountain village.
It was a tight fit in the truck with all the people and the dog. Stahl brought up the document Tredegar transmitted to his PDA. "These aren't vampires like we know them," Tredegar began.
"They aren't sparkly,"
injected Cortez. Montgomery flushed at the backhand jibe. She seemed to like Twilight, thank you very much.
"They aren't even human form, at least not yet," Tredegar said, plowing on before anyone else chimed in. "According to the intel from the priest, these creatures are from another time and place. I think they mean from another dimension. In this world, they need human life force to survive, usually through blood. The longer in this world, the more they can adapt and the more human-like they become."
"How does a priest in a mountain village have all of this?" Cortez asked.
"Not the first time the Jesuits have dealt with this," Tredegar answered.
"So how do we stop these vampires?" Stahl asked. "We didn't bring along silver bullets or wooden stakes."
"Or those nifty UV bullets," Sport chimed in from the other truck.
"Would everyone please stop making movie references?" Tredegar said, clearly annoyed. "Right now, they're vulnerable. They haven't had time to adapt to our world or develop any immunities. Right now, they're big, nasty monsters that drink blood. Think of a variation of the monsters we fought back on Corsica."
Stahl saw a shudder from the team members that had gone down into the truce facilities during that battle.
"All of that changes in less than 24 hours. Then they get stronger, smarter, and hard to kill on an exponential level."
"Let's not waste time then," Cortez said. "As soon as we reach the village, we fan out and look for survivors. Tredegar needs to see anyone that survived the vampires so we can try and piece together what happened and how many of these creatures we're dealing with. If you find one of the monsters, do not engage it by yourself. Call for help. Any questions?"
"Yeah. The Steve wants to know how we're going to close the hole that these vampires came out of,"
the Steve said. Stahl reminded himself that under the crazy former Staff Sergeant Mountain was a sharp operator.
"The papers reference some ritual that the Jesuits did last time, but it's pretty vague."
The trucks started to jostle as they left the paved roads and started up the trail to the mountain village. Stahl hadn't even learned the name of the place yet. He thumbed around on his PDA until he found a map of the village. Pretty standard layout. Church and the big merchants close to the center with some houses and smaller stores as the village spread out towards the farms and the jungle. Probably no more than 500 people, all towed. Stahl was torn from his PDA as the first truck was flipped into the air. It looked like an IED hit, but there wasn't the deafening boom of an explosion. Combat reflexes took over. Stahl shoved a Panamanian soldier aside and jumped up to grab the Modus's controls. As the first truck rolled into a tree line, Stahl could see the cause. The creature was maybe 7 or 8 feet tall. Its wiry, thin body was covered with matty brown fur. Stahl didn't even pause to look at the thing's face before he pressed down on the paddle between the machine gun's handle. The familiar heavy Buddha, Buddha, Buddha of the M2 machine gun filled the air. The heavy 50 caliber bullets tore gaping holes into the creature. Stahl could hear its faint screams over the sound of the machine gun. The creature took a step back, fighting to stay on his feet as bullets after bullet shredded its body. It lasted maybe 10 seconds before Stahl nearly removed his lower half with a machine gun. The creature fell to the ground. Stahl jumped up out of the truck and ran toward the creature with his M4 up. Next to him was Quentin McClintock, the big close-quarter specialist. As they neared the creature, it burst into flames. There was maybe a second of bright flames and intense heat. All that remained of the creature was a scorched outline in the dirt.
"Okay, that went pretty well," Stahl said to McClintock. "Let's get back and help the others."
McClintock put a meaty hand on Stahl's shoulder. The big man wasn't looking at the scorch mark. He was looking deep into the trees.
"Chief?"
"He wasn't alone," McClintock said.
The morning air was filled with snarls as several more of the creatures stepped up out of the tree line. Stahl gripped his weapon and prepared for the fight.
Thank you for following the dramatic episode of Zombie Strike, written by Derek Ward and narrated by Ken Blanchard. Please leave a review for us on iTunes. And if you like the show, make sure you check out KenBlanchard.com. That's Ken with two N's. And leave me a comment at blackmanwithagun@gmail.com. Also, if you can, could you donate a few bucks to help keep the show going? Thanks a lot.